Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and that you forgave me.
Of our God in the mountains. Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies, and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams, that they know one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and children then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. From the Gospel for this day, the 7th chapter of St. Matthew, verses 15, 18, and 21, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." As I read the Gospel for this Sunday, this past week, I immediately thought of how easy it is for us human beings to be deceived. We can be deceived by others, and we can deceive ourselves. And in the Gospel for this Sunday, Jesus warns us about both kinds of deception. First, against being deceived, and second, against self-deception. First of all, he warns us against being deceived by false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. The basic meaning of the word prophet in Holy Scripture is not so much somebody who foretells the future, but someone through whom God truly speaks. Now, the Lord Jesus is himself the one great prophet, just as he is the one great shepherd and the one great high priest. And Jesus commissioned his 12 apostles to speak for him. "As the Father has sent me, even so I send you," Jesus said. And true prophets are those who preach and teach in harmony with what the apostles taught, as we find their teaching in written form in the Holy Scriptures. Faithfulness to the written word of the apostles is the test of true as distinguished from false prophets. And there can be no greater deception than when people pass along their own delusions as if they were the word of God. Speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, God says, "Behold, I am against the prophets who concoct words of their own and then say, 'This is the word of the Lord.'" It's a sobering thought that even among the 12 chosen by Christ, one Judas turned out to be a thief and a traitor. And the sad truth is that through all the centuries since, there have been numerous false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You can always recognize them by the fact that they urge you to place your trust somewhere else than in the Lord Jesus. And they also question what Jesus' apostles have written down for our learning. No one can doubt that we live today in a world which is inundated with notions that contradict the plain teaching of our Lord and Savior. And the fact is, too, that are wonderful means of communication, helpful as they are, also sadly make it possible for this deception to be an ever-present danger. And the false prophets claim that their delusions of the work of the Holy Spirit, when they are in fact only a manifestation of the spirit of the age, or as the Germans call it, the Zeitgeist, the Zeitgeist. Jesus warns us against being deceived. He also warns us against self-deception when he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And don't we all know how easy it is to deceive oneself? And that's one of the many reasons why it is important regularly to examine our lives in the light of God's Ten Commandments, which are just that. They are commandments, not suggestions. So examine your life in the light of the commandments, in the light of Jesus' teaching as we find it in the Gospels, and in the teaching of his apostles as we find it throughout the New Testament, because in doing that, we're undeceived. So how is it with you? How is it with me? How am I? How are you in our heart of hearts? Jesus says, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit." So ask yourself, do I see in my life what St. Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit, meaning the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces? And what is that fruit? Paul writes, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control." Or do we see in our lives what St. Paul names the works of the flesh? And by flesh, Paul here doesn't mean the body as such, but by flesh he means our whole human nature of body and soul, insofar as we are against God, insofar as we are out of sympathy with God. So what are these works of the flesh? According to Paul, they are fornication, impurity, indecency, idolatry, quarrels, a contentious spirit, envy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissension, intrigue and jealousy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. And Paul goes on to say that those who do such works shall not enter into the kingdom of God. And in saying that, Paul is simply echoing the words of the Lord Jesus. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So ask yourself, how is it with me? Do we take delight in strife? Do we refuse truly to forgive those who've hurt us so? Are we quite simply kind? Do we use God's name and even the name of Jesus carelessly, irreverently, as a swear word, even to curse others? Do we rejoice in all that God has so wonderfully revealed to us through his Son and Holy Spirit? Or do we follow the fashionable skepticism, the fashionable delusions of our age? So how is it with you? How is it with me? Any honest examination will show that we are all without exception in need of repentance, in need of sorrow for our wrongdoing, wrong speaking, wrong thinking. And we are called to faith in Jesus, who is the only one who has ever perfectly done the will of his Father who is in heaven. He did all that for you and for me. In his holy body, he bore our sins on the wood of the cross. When we put our trust in him, God the Father looks on us not as we are in our deluded, sinful selves, but as we are clothed in the spotless robe of Jesus' blood and righteousness. And what is so wonderful about the divine service on the Lord's Day, this gathering of Christ's baptized people around his word and table, is that in this place we are freed from the need to pretend that we're something not, freed from self-deception. We're free to admit that we are in truth sinners whose only hope is in the unmerited love of God's Son, who in pure mercy has made us God's children, heirs with him of the life and the joy eternal. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. In our prayers this morning, we especially remember Pastor Paul Gregory Ahms, who today is installed as pastor of St. Paul's Church in Catonsville. Let us stand and pray for the church and for the world. O Lord our God, holy and infinite, you caused the light to shine out of darkness and have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Accept now in your endless mercy this our sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise, and mercifully hear our requests. Lord, in your mercy, remember your whole church on earth, all the pastors and ministers of your holy word and sacraments, especially Paul Gregory, the chaplains of the armed forces of our nation, and the missionaries of your grace at home and abroad. Lord, in your mercy. Remember also the President of the United States and all who bear the authority of government in this and every land, that justice and peace may everywhere prevail. Lord, in your mercy. Remember in your compassion all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity, especially all persecuted Christians and all those for whom our prayers are desired. Lord, in your mercy, we also remember before you all those who have departed this life in the true faith of your holy name, and pray that we with them may have our portion with all your saints in life, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let us sing hymn 630. Hymn 630.
Thank you.